So on page 98.
So we just finished 3-4 chapters about Dira B'Tachtayna. The goal of creation was that the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted a dwelling place in the physical world. And it's all about the physical mitzvahs. Physical mitzvahs not only being defined by Lulav and Esrog and Tefillin, but every time we speak, those are physical mitzvahs. And then he even got into the fact that when we utilize the physical world to sustain our body, even for the study of Torah, that there's a physical aspect to that. Okay? Now, having given those introductions, page 98, Perek Lamed Ches, V'ne'im Kol Hanal, based upon what we've learned here, Yuvin Eitiv, we understand very well Psak HaLocha, the definitive Jewish law, Ha'arucha B'Talmud HaPoiskim, that which is brought clearly in the Talmud and in the Halachic deciders, Tehirer Lav K'dibur Dami, thinking, in cases where speech is required, thought is inadequate. So people who sit and stare at their sitter, even if their eyes are moving, ain't going to work. You can't fulfill the mitzvah. Therefore, if a person reads the Shema in their thoughts alone, levad, meaning in thought and in heart alone, with intense intent, thinking about every Kabbalistic incantation and shame, you know, the deepest of the deep. Ain't gonna work. You will not have fulfilled the obligation in thought alone. You're going to have to go back and read it all again. And the same too applies to benching, which is biblical, or even the rabbinic blessings that we say before and after we eat, they have to be said verbally. One cannot get by with intense kavana. Similarly, ubitvila v'mahitzi b'svasov. Yet we find a very fascinating thing, that if a person verbalized v'loy kivin libay and they had nothing in mind, yatzi yidei chavasa v'diavit, then you did fulfill your obligation. Now this flies in the face of spiritual Judaism, because if it's all about the spirituality, well, why would it be that if one is lacking the kavanah, one is lacking the intent, where it would seem that should be the main thing, that they could fulfill the obligation. Ve'en tzorich lachzor. And you don't got to go back and do it again. Levad mepasuk rishon shel krishma. There is exceptions. The exception is the first pasuk of the Shema, ubracha rishon shel tefillah shmoneh esrei, and similarly the first bracha of the 18 brachas of the Amida. If one does not have in mind for that, a person does need to repeat the shmoneh esrei. No wonder you're not on the phone. There's a chair right there. Okay, the isa bereish perek beis the brachas. Therefore, what does it say there? It says there regarding the mitzvah of the Shema, ad kan mitzvahs kavona, up until the word levavecha, alevavecha, up until there is the mitzvah of having in mind, mikan ve'edach, mitzvahs kriya. From here on is the mitzvah of reading. So you find here a fascinating, what we call it, counterintuitive law. And that is that speech without intent works for mitzvahs. Intent without speech does not work at all. Parenthetically, there was a rift in the Hasidic movement between almost two countries. It was between the Pelish Hasidim and the Galitziana Chassidim, about this very issue. The Rav Shitzeruv and his kibbutz accused the Pailish Chassidim of getting lost in thought, and to the point where they felt that they neglected mitzvahs ma'asiyos. They would sit and ponder the meaning of the mitzvahs, the depth of the mitzvahs, the kabbalah of the mitzvahs, And they were accused of neglecting mitzvah fulfillment. And it became a huge, huge issue, huge rift. To this very day, the Galatian Chassidim don't learn the Pedesh Svarim, Svasemis, Reb Tzodik. They don't learn because of that rift. So here he's addressing this issue that while we have tremendous respect for intent, but with regard to mitzvah fulfillment, you got to say the words. You can say the words. Doesn't work. So you say the words without the intent, you were yotze b'di'evit. But you do the intent without the words, doesn't work. So what's going on here? So he explains, based upon the chapters that we've learned until now, this makes perfect sense. Fourth line from the top. V'haynu mishum sh'aneshama eina tzricha tikkun la'atzma b'mitzvahs. It's because the neshama itself is perfect. The neshama does not need to be rectified. It doesn't need to be fixed. The purpose of life is to draw into this world the godly energy to rectify the physical nefesh. Ve'aguf, ayidei oisius hadibur, through the letters of speech, of verbal enunciation, sha'nefesh midaberes behem etzois hapeh, the soul will speak with the five tools of speech, v'chein b'mitzvahs ma'asis, the same applies to physical mitzvahs, sha'nefesh oisei b'sharei bariguf, that the soul is able to act through the limbs of the body. So it's all about the physical fulfillment of the mitzvahs, whether it's physical action mitzvahs or it's physical mitzvahs through the enunciation of speech. Having said that, says the Baal Tanya, I want to drive home how important Kavana is. Ach, however, Afal Pikein, despite what we've just said, Amru, the Chazal told us, Tfila, whether it is prayer, Oishar Brach, or other blessings, Beloi Kavana, that are said without intent, Hen Kiguf Beli Neshama. They are like a body without a soul. Now, don't chas v'shalom misinterpret this to mean that the person didn't fulfill the mitzvah, because that is not true. So what does it mean, it's like a body without a soul? If it doesn't mean that there was not a fulfillment of the mitzvah, what does it mean? Pidish. And here's where this gets murky. Ki kemoi shekol habruim shebo ilam hazeh, just like all creations in this world. Sheyesh lem guf and neshama, they, every creation, no matter what, has a body and a soul of sorts. Now, a stone doesn't have a neshama like a person has a neshama. Nonetheless, it has a spiritual force that gives its existence. Okay? Shem nefesh kol chai, that is the soul of all things. Viruach kol basar ish, or the spirit of all living flesh, v'nishmas kol asher ruach chayim ba'apov, or the neshama of any living thing. This already refers to animals.
I thought ba'apov was by people.
Nope. Mikol ba'al chayim. V'ashem chayes kulam ma'avos aman yesh. And even if we're talking about totally inanimate object, the Ribbono Shel Olam has to sustain everything and give them their existence. Tomid bi'or v'chiyu shemashpia b'hem, with the light, the life source, the force of existence that he gives into them. Shegam haguf hachomri. He says, I'm not, this is a very critical distinction, guys, listen. We're not talking about the neshama that keeps the body a living human being. We're talking about the force that gives the body its own existence. God forbid, even after the soul departs the body still exists. Right? What is giving the body its existence even after the soul has departed? Something is giving it its being, right? V'afilo avonim va'ofar, even stones and dirt, hadayim and mamish, they're inanimate objects. Yesh bayor v'chiyus, mimen yisbrach, it's got a life source, it has an energy. Shalayach saliyas ayin v'efes, that life source that prevents it from returning to nothingness. Kishahaya, as it was before it existed. Okay, so everything has a neshama of sorts. Now, keep in the back of your mind what we're, the idea that we're trying to drive home. We're trying to drive home the importance of kavana, okay, versus serving with kavana, serving without kavana. That's the backdrop, but put it in the back of your head. Now let's look at the various types of chiyus that exist in the world sustaining various beings. You have a life source that's sustaining a human being and allowing that human being to talk, or that's allowing the elephant to run, or that's allowing a stone to merely exist. Okay? This should be a page with pictures. Right at the beginning of the line, V'afal Pikein, and despite the fact that we all understand that every object in this world requires a sustaining force, Ein Erech V'Dimyon Klal, we all accept and understand and acknowledge that there's no comparison Bein Bechinis or V'Chiyus HaMeir Biguf to the life source and the energy that illuminates the human body, Ligai V'Bechinis or V'Chiyus HaMeir B'Neshama, compared to the life source that's sustaining a living soul of a living person, she nefesh kol chai, right? No one would equalize the life source that's sustaining a living neshama to the life source that's sustaining a body, the cells of the body. V'av shebishneim echad shaveh b'pchinas hester ponim ulevushim shaveh. Even though, under a microscope. Are we going to see either one? Has anyone ever seen a neshama? Has anyone ever seen godly energy? Neither the godly energy of the soul has been seen, nor the godly energy of the arm has been seen, right? So both of them are equally concealed. Ulevushim shavim, they're both concealed in various garments. Sha'or mistater umis'alem umislavish boy, that the light is concealed and hidden and enclosed in it. Why is that? The reason they're both concealed is because they both exist in this physical world. Because everything in this world is concealed equally as they are the light, the energy that comes from Hashem. In this world, they are concealed by Hashem's concealed face, v'yiridas hamadregas, and the lowering of levels b'hishtal shlis haylamas, in the chain effect of the world, right? We know that the worlds start in Atzilus, and then they go to Asiya, to Bria, and Asiya, until the Yitzira, and Bria, and Asiya. So b'madrega l'madrega, they go from step to step, b'tzimtzum im rabim, concealment after concealment, v'yatzumim, until they come into this crass physical world, the world known to us as the world of Noiga. Noiga being Klipas Noiga, it's called the shell of Noiga. What's the purpose of a shell? The shell conceals. The concealment of this physical world is called Klipas Noiga. That is the shell that conceals everything in this world. And its purpose is Lahachius Klolis Elamazel Chumri, to sustain, to give life to every object in this physical world, is sustained by this klipas noiga. Dainu, that is to say, kol advarim amutarim atoirim shabay demazeh, all permissible and pure, clean things that exist in this world, are sustained by noiga, and by extension, umimeno v'al yoda, and through klipas noiga, mushboim dorim atmeim. We also sustain chazer and arla and gezel, and all forbidden things are sustained through that. Because noiga is a bridge to the dark world. Now, so the entirety of this world, everything in it, from humans to rocks and everything in between, are sustained by the or that exists in Klipas Noiga. But they're not the same. Just because they're all under one umbrella doesn't make them the same. It just means that they're under one similar categorization, right? Last line on the page. Aval PK, despite this. Ha-ha-ora shehi amshachas hachiyus asher Hashem meir. The illumination, meaning the withdrawal, the drawing down, if you will, have an image of a electric source, a nuclear reactor that's throwing off energy, okay, through pipes, through wires, going through transformers, limiting the amount of the flow of electricity that's going through those transformers, okay? That is a good muscle for understanding the chiyus that's coming from Hashem, going into this world, going through transformers until it comes into this world, okay? Asher Hashem meir u'mahav u'machaya, next page, 100. Derech levozeh, even though they're all coming into the world which is sustained by electrical forces, but ein shava b'kulon b'pchinas tzimtzum v'hispashtus. You can't compare the flow of energy that's in a little fan to the flow of energy that's going into, an industrial oven. Yes, they're both electric flows, but they're not the same in their scope. They're not the same in their intensity. Because in the physical body, or in stones, or dirt, there's a very, very limited amount of chiyus that's there, giving them their sustenance, giving them their life force. He says, I'll prove to you, it is so limited, rocks don't even grow. That's how little chiyus they have. Once a rock, always a rock. And the same, they'll always be the same. But in a vegetable plant, there's obviously more life force. The proof is that tomorrow's tomato is different than today's tomato, because there is greater life force in it. I want you to understand, generally speaking, these life force levels are split into four categories. They are Daimem, the inanimate objects, Tsemeach, the things that grow, Chai, those things that are alive, Midaber, those speaking beings, Kineged Dalet Oisi Hashem Avaya Baruch Hu, they correspond to the four letters of Hashem's name, Shemimenu Mushpoim, from which these four categories come. Now, continuing with the theme that he was saying before, just like nobody could ever compare the drawing of the life force that exists in inanimate objects or in vegetables and growing things, you couldn't compare that to the amount of life force that exists in animals or in speaking beings, otherwise known as humans. Even though they all belong under the category of the concealed forms of energy, and they all wear the same clothing, namely, they all fall under the subcategory of noiga. So too, you must understand, kach ein erech v'dimyon klal, there's no comparison at all bein ha'aretz v'amshachas erein sof baruch hu to how we as humans can draw the energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, shepnimius ritzayna yizbarach, the internal desire, the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, b'liest eponim alavush klal. Without every mitzvah, we must understand, is Ratzon Hashem, is the will of Hashem without any concealment. The mitzvah of tzitzis is absolute will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The mitzvah of tefillin is absolute will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaMe'irim ul'veshes b'mitzvahs ma'asiyas mamash. And every time we do a physical mitzvah, we must understand that that mitzvah is the will of Hashem without levush. It is straight, as they call in the vodka world, absolute desire of Hashem. V'chem ha'mitzvahs atluyas b'dib, the same is true of speech mitzvahs. Ubitis v'sayim, that which requires enunciation of the lips. B'li kavani, even if it's without intent, Shunachshav kamaisa mamish, it too is considered like a physical act. Ligabe ha'arav amshachas ha'yitzay baruch hu ha'me'iru medoveshes b'kavanas ha'mitzvahs ma'isiyas. You can't compare a physical act or physical speech to the amount of godly illumination which is contained if we are really able to focus properly and have the correct intent, the amount of illumination that we can draw in the infinite energy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaMe'ira, that illuminates, Umadoveshes, and is enrobed, B'kavanas HaMitzvahs Ma'asiyas, with the intent of physical mitzvahs, Sha'odam Mischamin Basiyas, and if a person has the correct intent, K'dei L'davka Ba'yisbarach, what's the correct intent? It's like the introduction to Toldos Yankiv Yosef. The intent of every mitzvah is Dveikus B'Hashem, to connect, to cleave to Hashem. Aydekim Ritzoinai, by fulfilling His will, because as we know, Shehu V'Ritzoinai Echad, Hashem and His desire are one. So, yes, they're both mitzvahs, they're both awesome, but just like within the world of Nega, you don't compare a human being, a thriving, living human being, to a rock, even though they're both Naga. So too, don't confuse the fulfillment of a dry, lifeless mitzvah, which is awesome, to a mitzvah which is infused with the person who's doing it with the correct kishmak, to be Dovek B'Hashem. Yes, they're both Ratzon Hashem. But there's Ratzon Hashem, and there's Ratzon Hashem, right? You can't compare them, even though they're under the same subcategory. Don't lose sight of the fact that this is so much greater and so much deeper.
Is it fair to say that mitzvahs have the same sort of four levels of... Is there a chiyus by mitzvahs?
He's going to talk about that. Yeah. That's where he's going. Now, and the other bracha, when the person has correct intent in doing them, he cleaves his thoughts and his seichel to Hashem. He says, be careful. This is a very easy trap to fall into. Don't make the mistake to think that thought unto itself is greater than the action of the mitzvah. He says that's ridiculous, because if you could have the thoughts all day long, if you don't do the action, it's worthless. Right? Commercial act of the common. So if that's the case, why does it have any value? Right? If you were to sit and ponder tefillin and never put them on, you've wasted your time. Right?
Well, it depends what you're trying to do.
If you're just pondering the concept of tefillin. Obviously, then you could ponder them all day long. But here he's talking about pondering instead of putting them on. Yeah. Right? So, if it has value unto itself, so then can one replace the other? He says, God forbid. The only reason it works, the only reason that intent has any value is because it too is Hashem's desire that you should ponder. Were it not for that fact, then it would be worthless. It would be meaningless. The only reason is because that too is Ratzon Hashem, that you should cleave to Hashem in seichel and in thought and in intent of the mitzvahs, or be kavanas krishma tefillah, and with the intent of the shema and davening v'shabrochas v'oras. But he says, now I want you to understand that when doing so, when we really do cleave to Hashem in that action, if a person actually succeeds in having intent in the fulfillment of mitzvahs, then it is It is infinitely greater, lemaila, lemaila, more and more, higher and higher, deeper and deeper. May Aris Ratzana Elyon, from the illumination of Hashem's highest Ratzanami Edom of the Veshes, Bekiyama Mitzvah Atzma B'maisu B'dibber B'li Kavana. It is much greater, much deeper, much greater illumination than just doing the physical mitzvah itself. How much greater? K'goydol Milus Ara Neshama Ala Guf. It is as great as the comparison to the light of the Neshama over the energy that just is the godly energy that sustains the body. We all understand that the body itself is only just a sheath, a glove for the neshama. Just like so too is the physical action of the mitzvah. It too is a glove, it's a garment to its intent. Even though in both the actual physical fulfillment of the mitzvah and its intent, both of them contain a simple, unified ratzon of Hashem, because you can't increase or decrease godliness, and therefore, and any time a person is involved in the fulfillment of a mitzvah, they are unified with Hashem's ratzon in an absolute simple unity. Alpha P Kane, despite that, haha ara ena shava. You can't compare. The illumination is not equal. Yes, the dveikus is equal, and the fulfillment of the ratzon Hashem is equal. But as far as the power of the impact, you can't compare the impact to a mitzvah which is done with intent to a mitzvah which is done without intent. As far as the extent of the spreading of the life force, again, going back to the mashal of the rock versus the human, both of them have godly energy, but you can't compare the life force, the excitement, the movement, the impact that you see between a neshama and a rock are clearly very different. All right, we'll take it up from the little star here in Mirtz Hashem next Wednesday.